what's the problem with the $85 billion media merger of the decade between AT&T and Time Warner? It's all about size and control. By combining AT&T distribution through mobile services and DirecTV satellite with Time Warner's various media properties, including CNN, HBO, and Warner Brothers Studios, the DOJ believes the new company will be big enough to dictate content pricing and stop competitors from coming up with new technologies to deliver video.
A lot of the reason that wage growth has been held low is because of those higher income earners. The reason why wage growth at the low end is so much faster than it was 10 years ago when the labor market was, you know, tight in that cycle is that wage growth was actually depressed for a lot of these low-end categories back then. And so it's not super fast right now, but it's a lot faster than it was then.
Two of the biggest data leaks in history, the Paradise Papers and the 2015 Panama Papers, have brought people in power to their knees. But they wouldn't have been possible without a small Swedish startup. The Panama Papers was so big that one analytical news website estimated that it would take more than 41 years to print all the documents.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's November 10th, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. We're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day. TGIF, but we could do without those snowflakes that are flying around here in Chicago this morning. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. A very cold commute for you. Mary's going to have all your travel times coming up. We'll keep you posted on the weather. Nothing significant, just a reminder that winter is almost here in Chicago. Let's start on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. And first, in this country, futures have been down as much as 100 points this morning, but they are recovering just a little bit, down 43 now. S&P and NASDAQ futures are lower as well. Around the globe, markets in Asia fell sharply after Wall Street fell from record highs on uncertainty over President Trump's revamp. But news that Beijing will ease curbs on foreign access to some sectors buoyed some Chinese shares. The Nikkei is off 187 points, almost 1%. The Hang Seng is down about 15 points. The Shanghai, only of the big markets apparently that are the highest in Asia this morning, only up about 4 points. In Europe, most markets are lower. All of the markets are lower, as a matter of fact, but not by much. The FTSE is off about a third. Same situation with the CAC. The DAX is down just about 17 points. Again, in this country, futures pointing to opening losses on Wall Street. In a minute, we'll bring in Paul Nolte to talk a little bit about what might be happening on Wall Street. He's here for a regular Friday conversation. We'll have a travel conversation a little bit later in the show as well. Brian Summers will be here. He's a business airline reporter at Skift, and we'll be talking about some of the new trends in air travel. Some stories that we're watching for you. Of course, all eyes are on the tax reveal in Congress. The House Ways and Means Committee continues work on the House version of it. Senate Republicans yesterday revealed details of their sweeping tax legislation, including a one-year delay in plans for a major corporate tax cut, despite strident opposition from the White House and others in their own party. Their bill would leave the prized mortgage interest deduction untouched for homeowners in a concession to powerful real estate lobby, but would ignore a House compromise on the hot-button issue of state and local taxes. On the other side of the Capitol, the House Ways and Means Committee approved its own version of legislation on a 24-16 vote amid intense political pressure on the GOP to push forward on the first major rewrite of the U.S. tax code in more than three decades. Let's bring in Paul first. This is obviously the big story, and Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, an SVP there, portfolio manager. He's with us every Friday. Paul, are you looking at Wall Street thinking maybe losses yesterday and today have something to do with taxes?
They have a little bit to do. We saw yesterday a big decline in the Tokyo market, some things that were unique to Tokyo, but it did have a spillover effect. And as the markets started to watch the rumblings in Washington and watched, as we call, the sausage making of putting together a bill, I think Wall Street was a little disappointed in the speed and also the issues between the House and the Senate, which will get reconciled, but it pushes everything back to probably after the first of the year, judging by how many more sessions of Congress are left this year.
It seemed to me that when I saw the market really going south was when there was a report that the corporate tax cuts on the Senate side might be delayed, might not even take hold until a year after the bill is passed.
Right. And that was the big expectation. And certainly that was part of the reason why we saw different parts of the market do so well leading up to this point, because of those expectations that we're going to get tax cuts on the corporate side. We're going to be able to repatriate a lot of dollars that's ultimately going to benefit shareholders, not necessarily the employees, but certainly the shareholders of corporations, and should keep the markets up. So any delay in that, from Wall Street's perspective at least, is a bad thing.
You're seeing some players in the Senate, too, that some of the senators are already objecting to what they're seeing. This notion that you're going to have two separate bills competing with each other, the two houses competing with each other, I don't think Thanksgiving is going to happen.
No, I don't think so. And again, the expectation that this was going to get pushed through so quickly, when you go back to the last overhaul of the tax bill back in the 80s, it took a while. It took a long time. So the thought always has been, under the current administration, we're going to get this done tomorrow. Nothing works that way in Washington. It's always a long process.
In just the half hour that we've been here in the studio getting ready for the show, the Dow futures were off 100. Now they're off back about 42. This might be a time to buy. Are there some deals to be had once these drops happen?
You know, as we've talked about the last few weeks, the market is still expensive from a long-term perspective. The short-term perspective, I think the markets look halfway decent here. It's a decline that is healthy. We haven't seen even a 1% decline in the market in so long that we kind of get spooked by these 100, 200-point declines. I would say the buying opportunity is more international than it is here in the U.S. We're finding some very good deals, very good companies selling at reasonable prices overseas. Maybe not so much here in the United States, though.
Paul, hang on. We'll continue our chat with Paul Nolte here coming up. We'll talk a little bit about some economic data, more coming out today as well.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, profit takers ran the show on Thursday with the Dow Jones closing down 101 points to 23,461. The NASDAQ backing away from its record high by 39 points to finish at 6,750, and the S&P 500 giving up 10 points. Investors will be watching Equifax today. It saw a 27% drop in its third quarter net income compared with Q3 of last year. The credit monitoring company was hit with a data breach that exposed the personal data of nearly 150 million customers. Macy's third quarter earnings more than doubled thanks to cost-cutting moves, but revenue at established locations fell for the 11th straight year. Department stores are seeing increased competition as Amazon expands into fashion and from off-price chains like TJ Maxx. And Starbucks is adding two new holiday drinks to its menu this year, a toasted white chocolate mocha and chestnut praline chai tea latte. Customers can try both for the price of one. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's Friday, and that means we're on with Paul Nolte today of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, economic data this week, where you get consumer confidence today.
And consumers are going to be confident. We're seeing a lot of the confidence numbers around the globe actually do very, very well. And there's really becoming a dispersion now between the what they call the soft data, and that's the consumer confidence type numbers or survey numbers, and hard data, which would be retail sales, et cetera. So retail sales are not keeping pace with or going up as much as consumer confidence. So what it means is we're saying one thing but doing something else, and it's the doing something else that has really an impact on the economy. So that divergence has been going on now for the past 6 months or so, and it kind of is a head-scratcher for a lot of economists. And again, when you're looking at the harder data, the economics of the U.S. are showing some weakness.
So is it like me on Saturday thinking I need to go shopping for stuff and then say, yeah, I don't really feel like going today? Is that what we're talking about?
A little bit. You know, some of it is, you know, I've got a decent job. Mm-hmm. I'm paying my bills. Things are okay. So how confident are you? Yeah, I'm doing okay. But I'm not making great strides in getting to where I'd like to be or where I think I should be. And an add-on to that would be, you know, last week's employment numbers. When we look at wage growth, is not really there. And we'd really like to see wage growth for those consumers to really feel good about spending that extra dollar and getting out and doing more spending, which we're not necessarily seeing here.
The holiday season is kicking off here, and retailers already struggling are hoping people start buying.
Well, again, it depends on the retailers that we're talking about. It is the Amazon effect and the online presence for a lot of retailers. So we saw Target readjust themselves to a little bit more online. Walmart's been there trying to compete with Amazon. Take a look at the Amazon numbers and the online retailing. Those numbers are actually pretty good, but it's the brick-and-mortar retailers that continue to struggle.
Let's talk a little bit about the anniversary of Election Day as it pertains to the markets. And I bet you that's what your chart was about that you were looking
yeah,
for.
I had some audio-visual that I left in the car. But this it's an odd one because since 1928, we've had five new Republican administrations that follow off of a Democratic president. This is the first one where we've actually had market returns that are positive. Coming off of prior ones, the markets were down. And a little bit of a concern in the fact that if you look at it from a historical perspective, the second year of a presidential term tends to be very poor. The average return for both Democrat and Republican tends to be around 3%. So that would say next year's returns will be something less than what we've seen. And then the final tidbit of, that's interesting information, is that when the markets are up as much as they are here, 15 to 20% or so, the next year tends to be negative. So it falls with the general thought that we're having is that the economy is probably slowing from a very more rapid pace, if you will, over the last couple of years. I don't know if we're into a recession. We're not really talking recession, but we can see those numbers coming down. And the possibility exists that if they continue on their current pace, that we could see or increase the odds of a recession sometime next year, which would again lead to a poorer market sometime next year.
Yeah, I pulled in preparation for our talk today a CNN Money report on that. The S&P is up over 20% since Election Day of 2016, third best performance, as you mentioned. This is since World War II. The NASDAQ and Dow have gained about 30% over the same period as well. So those are big numbers.
They're huge. And that's what I said, for an election year, that's very good returns. I think you have to go back to FDR to see better returns coming off of an election. And again, very unusual if you want to be a party affiliate and say, well, usually the Republicans suffer as they first come into office following a Democratic president. This is a little bit more unusual, but it has followed a very unusual path really since the bottom in 2009. There's been so many different things that have gone on that are so different than a normal economic recovery, a normal glide path for the economy, that it's not unusual to see a lot of unusual things.
As we get closer here to the end of the year, just, 7 weeks away, there's some things that we need to be thinking about with our portfolios.
We really do. I mean, this is a good time to take and assess. You really don't want to be doing this mid-December with the holidays and everything else coming up. So there's a couple things that we take a look at for clients. There's required distributions from IRAs. So if you're over the age of 70 and a half, you need to take your IRA distributions as the government tells you how much you have to take. If you have an inherited IRA, not necessarily from a spouse, but maybe a parent or something like that, you have to take a required distribution. The other part of it, too, is to take a look at the portfolio. There's as much as the market is up this year, there's always a few stocks that don't necessarily participate. And you want to take a look at the gains and losses that maybe you've taken so far this year and then take a look at the portfolio, maybe do a little bit of fall cleanup, as it were, and maybe get rid of some of the laggards and maybe have that opportunity to raise a little bit of cash to do some alternative, maybe rebalancing portfolios. But this is a good time to be taking a look at that so you're not so rushed right around the holidays when trading gets a little thinner and you tend to forget it because you're busy with other things.
Yeah, or worst case scenario, you leave it to the last moment and then you realize that your portfolio manager's on vacation for the rest of the year.
Even while I'm on vacation, I'm still very plugged in, yes.
All right, Paul, big plans for the weekend?
Oh, we're going to be heading up to Michigan. We're going to be on the other side of the lake watching my youngest do a little bit of swimming. So it should be a fun weekend, and I think we're going to be over to the Bears game on Sunday. So hopefully it will warm up a little bit. Otherwise, it's going to be a chilly game.
All right, go Bears, and have a good weekend, Paul.
Take care.
We'll see you again next week. Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find Paul and his team and everything else about him at kingsview.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoInno.com. A new proposal from Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel would allow city cab drivers to implement surge pricing, a move that would help cabbies compete with popular ride-sharing services like Uber and Lyft. The measure would also relax rules around fingerprinting for taxi drivers, which is something rideshare services have been able to avoid. Amazon has announced plans to set up pop-up shops at 5 Whole Foods locations next week, including one in Chicago. Whole Foods was acquired by Amazon earlier this year and has since used the stores to promote its business. At the pop-up shops, customers will be able to interact with Amazon devices and sign up for Prime membership subscriptions. And Chicago startup Treattail is a web browser extension that allows customers to request discounts from retailers when they're shopping online. The startup says discounts range from 5 to 25% off. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's our Friday edition here of The Opening Bell, 541. Airlines appear to be looking to millennials for the new model in air travel, and there's talk of higher airfares coming as the year draws to a close. Joining us this morning from Los Angeles via Skype is Brian Summers. He is the airline business reporter for Skift Online at skift.com, and we're happy to have him with us. Brian, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with one of the recent stories you've written here about how a millennial-focused startup by Air France has been in the news recently. What are they trying to do, and why would other airlines be interested in watching what's happening here?
Yeah, Air France has a very stodgy old brand. It's an airline that's been around for decades. And the airline has decided that it needs a cooler, hipper airline geared to younger people. It's called June. A lot of people on the internet have made fun of it because they're really going after millennials hard. I mean, they'll have drinks, alcoholic drinks on board, but the airline is saying that it's actually going to be like a rooftop bar, which is ridiculous. It's still an airplane. But basically, Air France is doing what a lot of airlines are doing, and they know that the next crop of business travelers is people in their 20s and 30s now, and they're trying to get in on that market and give younger folks what they want. So that's things like more self-service. I'm relatively young. I want to do things myself. I don't want to have to wait in line for a person. Things like better mobile apps. Air France, the June platform is going to have organic meals. It's possible that you'll be able to order them through your in-flight screen. You know, millennials don't really like to talk to other humans. So as much as you can do using technology, that makes them happy.
So what is the early indication here? Is this going to be successful? Or are they still being laughed at?
Oh, they're still being laughed at very much. I mean, I've talked to some branding experts about this, and you can go after millennials, people in their 20s and 30s, and give them what they want, like the self-service, maybe better internet on board. Apparently, millennials as a group, don't like to be pandered to. And instead of just June being this airline that has what younger people want, they're going after younger people and saying, this is your airline. You are going to like us. You should fly us. And people think that's kind of funny. They think that June shouldn't be so overt about it.
So who in the U.S. might be watching this experiment?
Well, I think most of the U.S. airlines are going to watch this. Not so much because any airline is going to have a sub-brand designed for millennials. But we've seen a couple of U.S. airlines give younger travelers what they want, if not so overtly. So I've heard both JetBlue Airways and Delta are pretty good at marketing to younger people. And that just means having things like fast Wi-Fi, fresher food, more self-service, and some airlines are better at that than others.
I want to hit a couple of other stories that have been in the news recently. Southwest Airlines is joining others in suggesting we might see higher airfares by the end of the year. Is this talk or is this something that might come to fruition?
Well, it's possible that we might see slightly higher airfares. But remember, Southwest is talking about the aggregate. They're talking about average fares. They're talking about very complicated financial metrics. And they're talking about fares maybe going up 2, 3, 4%. What a lot of airlines would like to do is not so much lower prices that are now $200 or $300 or $400 round trip. They're trying to get away from super discounting. People have probably noticed that there are a lot of fares right now that you can get for $10 one way or $20 or $30, maybe Chicago to Las Vegas or something like that, like a really competitive market where the fares are just insane. And Southwest and American and other airlines would like to stop offering so many super cheap fares and just raise fares a little bit. But I don't think it's going to be so much that people are going to notice and they'll be upset about it.
I guess we've sort of been spoiled with low fares. I know Chicago is always considered one of the cheapest places to fly out of. So is that a part of it, too, that we might have to get over being spoiled?
Yeah, you might have to get over being spoiled. Airlines call these fares junk fares. They hate them. They'll do it because there's two very cheap airlines in the United States, Frontier Airlines and Spirit Airlines, and both of them have extremely cheap fares, those $20 one-way fares. And United Airlines especially has said, we will match Spirit and we will match Frontier pretty much on every route at any time. They hate it, but the big airlines feel that they have to do it to thwart the competition.
As we've seen some of the earnings reports from the big airlines in the U.S., they all seem to be doing okay. Revenue at Southwest, I think, was up about 3%. A similar story at some of the other airlines. So they're not hurting for money, are they?
No, the big U.S. airlines are not hurting for money. They're doing pretty well, but they do want to see revenue increase every quarter, right? That's part of what being a business is. And it's a mature business, and it's hard sometimes to wring out that 2 or 3 or 4% bump every quarter that you need to show investors to make them happy.
American Airlines has been in the news, too, after the NAACP suggested to its members that American Airlines may be treating passengers, black passengers, in a racist way. The CEO of American immediately scheduled a meeting with the NAACP. How's that going?
Yeah, well, I can say pretty definitively that no U.S. airline as an entity is racist. I mean, these airlines have tens of thousands of employees. Some of them have 100,000 employees, and they're humans. They make mistakes. Unfortunately, some of them may have feelings that maybe you shouldn't express, but airlines as an entity are pretty welcoming, and American is one of those. As far as the boycott, I haven't heard that much about it. I imagine that it will peter out, if only because your average traveler maybe has one or two choices of an airline that he or she can fly. And if American is offering the cheapest ticket, it's going to be hard to turn them down.
Would you say that the CEO of American did the right thing by immediately getting onto this and scheduling a meeting and having a conversation?
Yes, American is better than most airlines in the world at responding to a crisis. They're very fast to apologize and to say, you know, this is something that we're going to look at, something that we're going to take seriously. And Doug Parker, American CEO, is definitely considered one of the good guys in the industry and probably takes this threat pretty seriously.
You have, speaking of some of the things that make passengers anxious, you have wrote about that recently, and you called it what, perm anxiety now is in the flying in the age of perm anxiety was the title of your article.
Yeah, perma anxiety. And so it's permanent anxiety is essentially what it is, a shortened form of that. You know, people, especially folks that travel only once or twice a year, a lot of them are very anxious when they travel. They're nervous. They don't know what to expect. And we think that that's part of the reason that we've seen more of these air rage incidents, you know, because people get upset about things on the airplane that probably wouldn't bother them on the ground.
Yeah. And I bring this up because, you know, back to the racist question, perhaps as you write, what they may be feeling is that the notion of unequal rights among passengers.
Right. You know, the airplane is really this world of the haves and the have-nots. You not only have first class and economy class, but now you have premium economy. You have this idea of basic economy. So some passengers maybe in the back and middle seats that are really getting a product that's worse than what economy class was. So the airlines are segmenting their brand, their airplanes, into four or five or six categories. And some people board early and they can stow their bags overhead, and some people board late and they can't. And lots of businesses segment their product. But when you see it with Marriott hotels, you know, they have the high-end Ritz-Carlton, and then they have lower-end hotels, and it's usually not all in the same building with the guests intermingling. And so with everybody in that small tube, you really do have people who have a good experience and people who don't have a good experience, and they're all in the same place.
Brian, we're all getting ready to hit the roads and the airways to go home for Thanksgiving or go wherever we are. Any advice from somebody like you, a seasoned traveler, about how we can better deal with the holiday season and traveling?
Yeah, I mean, my biggest advice may not be all that helpful, but it's really to be patient and hope for good weather, because an airline always runs better when it's a nice sunny day outside. Another thing that I do recommend is to download an airline's mobile app. And even if you're not interested in tech normally, the mobile app is really great, especially when flights are delayed or canceled. You don't have to call the 800 number. You don't have to wait in line at O'Hare. You'll often get a bunch of options. If you want to rebook yourself, you can do it right there. I also recommend using self-service just about for anything else, including checking bags. I mean, I know that 5 or 10 or 15 years ago, you really wanted to talk to a person. But right now, those people are often contractors. They usually don't even work for the airline. And they can't do that much for you. So do it when you're do it yourself when you can.
Brian, thanks for the advice. Good chatting with you. Hopefully we can touch base from time to time about all of this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Brian Summers is airline reporter for Skift. That's at Skift on Twitter and Skift.com. Make sure you also sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report. You'll like it. It's at skift.com/airline. We look forward to talking to Brian on a regular basis here on The Opening Bell about air travel. He, by the way, is a Medill School graduate with ties to the Chicago area. So nice to chat with Brian this morning via Skype from Los Angeles.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures off 56 points. NASDAQ futures off 24. S&P futures down 10. Latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning from Kansas City, where we wind up the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention this evening. It'll be Max Armstrong night at the awards banquet. Max retiring after his year as president of the association. But let's go back to the November crop report yesterday. Some pretty big surprises. Corn crop estimated at 14.578 billion bushels, well above trade expectations. Soybean crop estimated at 4,425,000,000 bushels. That, too, was above trade expectations. And, Steve, it looks like we're going to set an all-time record high on the per-acre yield. That came in at 175.4 bushels per acre. That's bigger than any per acre yield in history. And in Illinois, the per acre yield went up 6 bushels to 198 bushels an acre. Indiana up 8 bushels to 181 bushels. Iowa up 6 bushels to 197 bushels per acre. So the November crop report that had quite a few surprises. And here in Kansas City yesterday, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue spent about 45 minutes talking to farm broadcasters about that crop report. So it's going to be interesting. We saw market reaction yesterday. It's going to be interesting to see how long we'll get market reaction to those numbers.
You mentioned you had the chance to see and talk to the Secretary of Agriculture. Is he still pretty upbeat about things going forward?
He is. He is upbeat about it. And interestingly enough, the commodity group officials, officers who are here at this convention, corn growers, soybean growers, they know this is a challenge to get this crop sold. They know we're going to have to continue to be very active in the foreign markets and promotion. But Secretary Perdue said American farmers have proven before they can produce and sell it. He said, I think they'll get it done again this year.
And obviously, they're going to need the support from the White House, of the presidents in China. Lots of talk about trade. These are all key things moving forward, aren't they?
They really are. And I don't know how much credit you can give Donald Trump for selling American soybeans, but there were several sales agreements that were signed off in Beijing, China, with the president there. So, and China did promise to purchase more of our soybeans. And of course, they are by far the biggest buyer of American soybeans.
Orion, it is snowing here at 19 degrees.
Here in Kansas City, it is not snowing, but it is chilly, very chilly. And as I look out the window at the Weston Crown Center, the outdoor ice skating rink is open to Kansas City residents, another sign that winter is going to become more intense probably in a short time.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's here. Orion, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Steve.
All right, Orion Samuelson with us. And make sure you listen to the morning show tomorrow at 5, bright and early at 5 a.m. right here on 720 WGN. And now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, November 10th. Treasury releases the federal budget for October. JCPenney reports quarterly financial results. And also today, a consumer confidence survey is out. President Trump addresses the APEC CEO Summit ahead of the APEC Economic Leaders Meeting in Vietnam. Veterans Day is observed today in many places because it falls on a Saturday. National parks have free entry this weekend to mark Veterans Day. The World Meteorological Association holds a news conference today. They'll issue provisional statement on the status of global climate in 2017 and release a 5-year report on the climate from 2013 to 2017.